Get ready to celebrate God's call to go. Here's your weekly dose of heartwarming encouragement for the missionary in all of us. Welcome to Missions Change My Life. Now here's your host, Pastor Kevin.
Good morning. I'm Pastor Kevin, founder and executive director of Global Hope India, and your host for Missions Change My Life podcast. This is a poor kid from rural North Carolina that has now flown over a million miles to 27 different countries. I've taken nearly 1,000 people on mission trips to India. We've collected millions for God's work among Indian nationals. I will be sharing compelling stories of radical transformation from ordinary people. Buckle up. You're going to hear some amazing stories. I'm going to take you right inside 20 plus years of real life mission trip devotional moments. And we will be sharing practical tools to empower and equip you. Go to globalhopeindia.org/resources as God uses missions to change your life. Hello, just wait until you hear today's episode with Scout. I am so excited to introduce you to one of our trip alumni, Scout. He is currently in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Guess which church he goes to? Green Bay Community Church. Guess who his employer is? Green Bay Packers. Will you please welcome to Missions Change My Life, my friend and soon to be your friend, Scout is on the show. Yay. Welcome to Missions Change My Life.
Thank y'all for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being here.
Just so excited.
Yeah, I can't wait to share your story with our audience today. We actually also have Justin, our international travel manager from India, being quarantined in the USA at the moment. So he's co-hosting the show. Thanks for being here. How are you?
Thank you. Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, are you excited about Scout?
I'm so excited.
And his story?
I know.
Yeah, I hope you're excited. Yeah. It's been a while since I've seen you guys.
I know. I know.
Trip back to Raleigh soon.
So when we first met over in India, you had told me your story that you're from Alabama and you're working with the Carolina Hurricanes, but your life has really changed since you went to India. So tell us where you are now and we'll get into the fun story of your employment in just a minute.
Definitely. So since our trip to India, I have moved from North Carolina. I moved up into Green Bay, Wisconsin this past February, and I've been here ever since. I actually got a new job with the Green Bay Packers.
Wow.
It's very exciting as an event sales executive, and I'm loving it. So I'm still in sports, just different location, and definitely missing all my Raleigh family.
So you're going to have to just help our audience put the connection together. You're from Birmingham, Alabama, but you are Packers all day long. How did that happen?
Yeah. So a little bit of a crazy story here. So my grandfather was born and raised in a little city right outside Green Bay, Wisconsin. And when he became a minister, he moved down to Florida and pretty much raised all of our family down there. So, you know, we are huge Packer fans, but pretty much all my family is spread out in the Southeast. I'm the only one to actually go back up to Wisconsin. So, but they're all excited to come out and visit for Packer games and whatnot once football season kicks off again.
Yeah. So obviously you're on the phone with us. Thank you for taking the call. That is always helpful when our interviewee answers the call. So thank you. But we are recording over the phone because we are under quarantine. And even in North Carolina, we're still virtually shut down. We keep trying to open and we have to take some steps backwards. What are things like in Green Bay?
Well, things are very, very much the same. I mean, we have heavy mask regulations. No, you can't really go into any business, Walmart, any grocery store, or anything like that without having a mask. Mm-hmm. And there's still a large amount of small businesses that are just closed. And our local government, like, we have a reopening plan that we're going through right now, which right now we're in phase one, which means there are no gatherings of 10 or more allowed, which makes my job as an event sales guy very, very difficult, you know, to get people out here. Mm-hmm. But people are obviously still very worried about this pandemic and we're trying to play everything very safe, but it's definitely not what the old normal was. And we're still working towards that, but I feel like we have a long way to go.
Of course, what you're about to say is totally off the record and unofficial, but what will NFL football look like this fall?
It'll look very different. Yeah. Very different. Mm-hmm. Obviously, what we're trying to do for this season will not hopefully not impact what we're doing for future season. Hopefully we can just go back to the way things were next year. But, you know, we're looking at condensed schedules, you know, shortened seasons and maybe even no preseason, kind of things like that. So it definitely will be limited, to say the least.
So when did you take your new role with the Packers?
February of this year.
And so welcome to your new job.
Yes.
No one can actually come to any event.
Yeah, exactly. I only had to work like 3 weeks and then they gave me 6 months off for some reason. So it's a great work schedule. You know?
Oh man. Wow.
That's a fun job.
I know. So you're on vacation in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Yeah, a lot of vacation time.
Yeah. Well, hopefully you'll get to go back to your job very soon. Mm-hmm. And that. So Justin, you ready to play Two Truths and a Lie?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So you are the guesser.
Let's do it.
And we're going to let you decide. Was Scout a state champion swimmer in high school?
Okay.
What do you think about that? Mm-hmm. Or is the lie that he has an awesome Pokemon card collection? You know, the Pokemon cards, trading cards, mm-hmm. Pokemon. He says he has an awesome Pokemon card collection. Mm-hmm. Or is he... Has he had a wiener dog that has lived to be 20? You know, one of the Dachshund hound dogs, the long dogs that they call wiener dogs, that has lived to be 20 years old. Which one is the lie? Did I say that right, Scout?
You did.
Okay. Which one's the lie?
I think it seems like pretty much everything is kind of like all true. I don't know.
Out of this world. Amazing.
Yeah, I know. I can totally imagine he is.
He's good at this game.
Oh yeah, he is.
Yeah,
and he's good at
swimming. I played this once or twice.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I think the last one, the dog, that wiener dog, is 20 years. Is that the one that?
If that's the lie, what creativity he would have?
Is that your final answer?
Is that your final answer? You're gonna lock that in?
Yeah.
Okay. He's locked it in.
Kevin, are you gonna give a guess?
I think. It's that you don't have an awesome Pokemon card collection. How about that?
Oh man. Are y'all ready?
We both are wrong.
Y'all are both very wrong.
You were not a championship swimmer in high school.
I'm actually a terrible swimmer. If you see me out there, I do like a weird doggy paddle. I'm enough to stay. I do enough to stay afloat.
You can survive.
But no, I'm an awful swimmer. So I don't know. I like pools and stuff like that. I just stay away from large bodies of water. But
so next week we will have our third co-host on the show. That way one of us will get it right. I know. That's good. You definitely know how to play the game. Way to go, Scout. You trumped. Mm-hmm. You tricked both of us.
Yep.
So let's dive in to the story. Justin, what do you want to know about Scout?
Yeah, I want to know about Scout. Yeah, let's dive in. So let's talk about your family, where your family lives, and how you grew up.
Yeah, so like I said, I am from Birmingham, Alabama. That is where 99% of my family still is. So, you know, all my family's down in the South. I was born and raised down there. And I grew up going to a Church of God church for about 10 years. Eventually, my pastor there left to start his own non-denominational church called A2 Church. It stands for Acts chapter 2. Mm-hmm. And that's where all my family still goes today. And I still call that church, you know, like my home church. And I love my pastor there, Chris Goins, just amazing guy. But that's where my family is now. And I went to the University of Alabama, majored in marketing. Moved up to North Carolina, where I met you two fine fellas, and now I'm out here in Green Bay.
We actually met in India. I don't know.
Oh, yes,
did I meet you before India?
No, we didn't.
We were from the same area.
Yeah.
You were living here at the time, working for the Carolina Hurricanes. Is that what brought you to Raleigh?
Yeah, so that is actually what brought me to Raleigh was simply the job opportunity. And then I started going to Hope Community Church from a coworker that actually invited me. And from there, I found out about the trip, met Nolan, who was leading the trip, and great guy. I mean, as soon as I sat down and talked to him about the trip, I had a few questions before I was fully in it. And then, I mean, he took away all my concerns, worries, and I was just excited to be a part of it and to go. And definitely one of the best decisions I've ever made in my life.
Share us one fun fact that most people don't know about you.
So what's that most people... Okay, so one thing that might surprise people is I used to raise chickens, And it's kind of a funny story. I mean, if you're ever in Alabama during springtime, you can walk into any gas station, you'll see a cardboard box just full of chickens for sale. Mm-hmm. And one day in high school, I don't know why, I just got a box of chickens, brought them home, and my parents were a little upset at first, but I converted my old treehouse into a chicken coop, and wow. I became a chicken farmer after that.
Wow. So,
I don't know. It's something I had a ton of fun with it, and I'm even thinking maybe I should get some chickens again. Mm-hmm.
So I've heard of grain-fed chicken and uncaged chickens, but you literally had airborne chickens in a treehouse. How did that work?
It was interesting, just to say the least. Yeah, again, my parents were not all for it when it first happened, but they liked the chickens. I mean, the chickens were friendly. They were, you know, fun to watch and hang around, but it was an adventure for sure.
Tell us about your story of faith. When did you actually begin to trust Christ as your savior?
I got you. So I grew up in, like I said, a Christian home. My parents were very involved in church, and missing church on a Sunday just wasn't an option. And so there was never the doubt or, you know, disbelief of, you know, is God there? Does God exist? I always, you know, I'm grateful that I always had that faith in me that I knew God exists. But I would say when I actually, you know, started working on my relationship with God, and when I actually felt like there was, you know, a strong connection, there was going into college. There was obviously just being on your own. You face a lot of things that maybe you wouldn't when you're living at home, and just having that support system of being able to go and pray to God, like, wow, like, you know, if you're dealing with anything and you just say that prayer and to feel all that weight lifted off you. And that's sort of when I knew, like, I'm not going to be able to make it through life alone. I got to have this relationship with God, or else I could see things going a whole lot worse. And freshman, sophomore year of college is when I would say I really built that strong connection with God. And moving forward, I mean, it's been an adventure. It's been a roller coaster ride ever since. And every day isn't perfect. And, you know, there are some days where I feel closer than ever to Him. And then there's some days where I feel like I need to start working on myself and my relationship with Him. But it's just, there's been that strong connection since college that I'd say I'm very grateful for.
Awesome.
Let's dive into your mission trip to India. So when did you go to India, and then, like, where did you go, and what your team member do in India during your mission trip?
I went to India in July of 2018. I went there with a group of 15 people, I think, and we went to Mumbai, India. We stayed at the fabulous 3-star hotel, which actually was an incredible hotel. I loved it. And we served a few different ways. We held a medical clinic. We served down in the red light district. We went to an orphanage for a while and hung out with some awesome kids and some of the best times I had there. And then we did a lot of, I mean, I can remember just walking around, you know, talking with people, actually getting to meet some of the people. And that was, you know, extremely cool. But yeah, we served in a few different ways.
What's your takeaway from the mission trip in Mumbai?
I mean, it was humbling to see people just so on fire for God. And I mean, to be honest with you, I feel like I got more out of it than I could ever offer someone else by me being there, because just seeing, you know, people that are just so grateful and on fire for God and that just want to worship God, even when everything might feel like it's against them. That's just so humbling to me, because there are times where I could definitely be worshiping and praying and, you know, all that, but I'm just stuck maybe at work. I'm stuck, you know, playing video games, watching Netflix, just something just so mindless where I'm thinking, you know, these people would give up anything just to have that freedom, just to have that ability to praise God. So coming back, I mean, I really took that to heart, and, you know, each prayer is a blessing just to be able to have that time with God. And it was moving for me to absolutely see people practice that, not just hear, you know, be on fire for God, be on fire for God. Like, to see what that looks like was huge.
Yeah. You're reminding me of my first trip to India and the very same impression there of just seeing raw faith.
Yep.
And the value of the presence of God in people's lives. You know, there's many Christians in the U.S., but you don't always see the value for the presence of God like you, like I do in India. Mm-hmm. So I totally get what you're saying. Share with us one of your funniest stories. When you come back and you've repeated the same story over and over, what story do you repeat?
Well, this one actually blew my mind. I never expected this to happen. And, you know, going to India, I think this was day two when we met him. But being from Alabama, it's a joke that, you know, no one ever leaves. Everyone just moves into the house across the street kind of thing, you know, like when they grow up. So, I mean, it's a very small community. And again, like I said, like, you know, everyone, because no one ever leaves and everyone just kind of hangs out there. So when I moved to North Carolina, I thought of myself as this, you know, adventurous guy, like, oh, look at me, I'm doing things no one else has ever done. And when we went to India, I believe it was day two when he joined us, but a guy named Hunter joined on the trip and joined our group. And, you know, everyone just gets to, you know, talking with them, and, you know, where are you from? Oh, I'm from the US. Okay, cool. You know, what state? I'm from Alabama. Alabama. Oh, Scott's from Alabama. All right. And then, you know, I start talking to him. I'm like, well, what city are you from? Birmingham. Birmingham. All right. What part? Hoover. Where do you live? And come to find out, we had grown up not even two streets down from each other. I never met him. Never met him in my life before until I went to Mumbai.
8,000 miles away.
Exactly.
The two guys from Birmingham, Alabama, meet for the very first time.
I could hit his house from my house with a rock, and, you know, but it's just crazy to think that was the first time I'd ever met this guy. And I still keep in touch with him, you know, on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Just super nice guy and funny. And again, another humbling moment for me. Like, Scott, you're not all that adventurous here. Come on, buddy. Like, you know, but just really cool. And it was funny. It was funny for me. And anyone back home that I shared that with thought it was funny too. So yeah. I love that.
Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. India or international travel can really be that yo-yo at times. It's like big world, mm-hmm. then small world, big world, small mm-hmm. world.
Exactly.
You see both of it like that. That's awesome.
All right. What's your biggest adjustment?
Biggest adjustment was, you know, like I will say, I love the food. Mm-hmm. I absolutely loved it. Never had any complaints. But I think it was about day three or four. I told Alex, I was like, all right, there's a McDonald's down the street. I need a Big Mac. I need something. And so,
Big Mac.
Love the food again. But I was like, I need a pizza. I need some fries. I need something. And so that might have been the biggest adjustment there. But again, mm-hmm. I loved absolutely, you know, everyone there, and the food was incredible. Where the food that we were served in the 3-star hotel, the butter chicken. I still think about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we eat very good in India. But were mm-hmm. you disappointed when you saw the menu at McDonald's because there's no Big Mac?
Yes, I was. That we walked all the way over there, and I was like, Hunter, I've never seen this menu before, but they did have fries. I think they had fries.
Uh huh.
And the I was happy enough for that.
Authentic. Yeah. The chicken nuggets are authentic.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. And I did have the chicken nuggets.
Get just their plain chicken sandwich, and that would be authentic. Mm-hmm. But if you allow, India will put toppings galore all over the chicken sandwich and turn it fire hydrant.
Spicy chicken hamburger.
Inferno, I love it.
Inferno spice all over it.
And now imagine yourself on the Ford Mission Field. You and your team are on the bus going to today's programs. After singing a few songs, Pastor Kevin stands to deliver a devotion.
Come on now, I'm ready.
Hey team, gather around. Before we go out into the mission today, I want to encourage you with this word, purpose. Think of the word purpose. Throughout our work today, I want you to allow God to bring to mind the word purpose. The Bible makes it clear that we exist in order to experience God. When we think of purpose, I want you to think about experiencing God. I want you to let God repeat that word purpose over and over in your spirit today. We are to experience God, not just know about Him, read about Him, hear about Him, but rather have a real and personal love relationship with Him through Jesus Christ. That's our purpose. So how do we experience God? The Bible teaches that we experience God as we join Him in His work. Today, you are fulfilling your purpose by joining God in His work through today's mission. That's what being a missionary is all about. I don't care what your role is today in our program or what your job title or your job description is, your purpose as a missionary is to experience God and to join him in his work. That's true today. It'll be true tomorrow. It'll be true the day thereafter. I want you to hear this word from Isaiah 9, verse 7. It says, the zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. This verse is foretelling the birth of Christ and what God will be doing through this promised Messiah. And it says, the zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. There are some things that only God can do. Only God can convict the world of sin, draw people to himself, save a person from their sin, heal, deliver, restore it. Those are things that only God can do. Look at this verse in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power, listen to this, at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. Right there, we are pointed to recognize that it is his power at work within us. It is God doing the work. Our purpose is not to go out today and try to do a great thing for God, but to let our great God do great things through us. And as we do that, we will experience him. So all throughout the mission today, I encourage you to think of the word purpose. You ready? Okay, let's get out there. Ready, set, go.
Want tools to help increase the effectiveness of your church's efforts to reach the internationals in your community? Global Hope India has 20 years experience and wants to share our successes and failures with you and your team through resources like this podcast and those offered at globalhopeindia.org. Reach out today.
We want to give some local love to our friends at Selling to Give. They align their profession of serving clients buying or selling a home with their passion to impact and transform lives. They donate the first fruit of every home sold through their Selling to Give Foundation to support local and global ministries. We salute David and Amanda Williams from Selling to Give for their generosity and gospel impact. Check out their website at sellingtogive.com.
How has God used missions to change your life?
Oh man. And again, I feel like this word keeps coming up, but it humbled me. It definitely put things in perspective and started making me question, like, what do I really want out of life? What like the goals that I had set forward, my 5-year plan that I had, was that really in line with what I felt like God had planned for me? Or was that sort of just what I had planned for me? And just again, like seeing those people on fire for God, it kind of put it back in perspective, like, what can I do with this time that I have, you know, planned out? Like, how can I, you know, glorify God? How can I be more on fire for him? And it's been a process to sort of kind of figure out where I feel like God wants to lead me and whatnot. But I do feel like I've been led here, but I want to continue, you know, pursuing, you know, God's plan for my life. And that was a big focus that it took out of that.
You have any connection in your mind spiritually between you going to India and you ending up in Green Bay, Wisconsin? Is there any connection of dots?
A little bit, certainly, because when I got to North Carolina, it was more of I didn't have much prayer involved with it. I was praying that God would give me a job, but I didn't really pray like, where is God going to send me? What is this? And I got a couple of job offers. I moved up to North Carolina where, you know, I felt like that was my best job opportunity, and it was, and I got a lot out of it. But when I came back from, you know, the mission trip in India, I was just like, God, like, I want you to be closer in my life. I want to, you know, explore a close relationship with you. And part of that was getting more involved in the church that I was at. And I got more involved with the church here in Green Bay. And it's been extremely beneficial for me. And I've loved every minute of it. And whenever I think back on my trip, you know, to India, there's just so many people and experiences that, you know, I'll never forget or lose in that way.
I wonder if you'd be willing to just share with our audience about just a nutshell version of the story of how God worked miracles to bring you to Green Bay, Wisconsin, because that kind of miracle happens to the humble. And you just described how, as a result of the mission trip, it was just very humbling for the experience that you were able to have in going all the way to India and everything. And maybe people would say, well, Scout's been humble his whole life. I just
I wish that was the case.
Well, hopefully it is. But if it's not, it certainly was a game changer for you to go to India. But when you told me your story of just how God put some connections together in a miraculous form, that's what God does. You know, when if we humble ourselves before the Lord, he will lift us up, and you've been lifted up. Would you mind sharing the miracle of how you ended up in Green Bay?
Of course. So like I said before, I grew up in Birmingham, Alabama. My grandfather was a diehard Packer fan and grew up, you know, in a small city just right outside Green Bay. And when he moved down south, that's how my whole family came to be down there. But I grew up in Birmingham, Alabama, right down the street from famous Packers quarterback Bart Starr. He was a MVP of Super Bowl I and II. And towards the end of my grandfather's life, he just, due to Alzheimer's and dementia, he just couldn't really remember much and was even beginning to forget like family members' names. But through all that, we always had this connection of watching Packers games, and he never forgot a game. You know, you could sit him in front of the TV and he could talk about what Aaron Rodgers did just last week, you know, who, how many touchdowns he threw to Devontae Adams, whatever it was. And so that was just an awesome way for, you know, towards the end of his life, for us to still have that connection and still talk and still have my grandpa. And when I just realized, you know, our time was limited, I wrote a letter to Bart and Cherry Starr, and because they were so close to me, I just asked them, hey, would there be any opportunity for us to swing by and visit my grandfather? He's a huge fan, would just love to see you. And they were so nice and invited us all out to their house. And it's just, it was an amazing experience to see him and Bart talk. And I mean, it was just, he was there. It was one of the last, you know, moments that I had where he was just where he was just all there, and just an amazing experience. But while I was there, I got to share with them my dream of how I was working with the Hurricanes at the time and how it was my goal to work for the Green Bay Packers. And so later on, I saw that a job had opened up with the Green Bay Packers, and unfortunately, Bart Starr had passed away about 2 months later. So I sent Miss Cherry a letter and I said, you know, I'm interviewing for this job with the Packers. I know I'd spoken with you about it in the past. If there's anything you can do as far as a recommendation, I'd greatly appreciate it. Thank you, you know, again, for everything that you've done for me in the past. And didn't get a response, but a couple of weeks later, I got a call from the guy that was interviewing me for the job. And he mentioned, he said, hey, well, I got an interesting call from our CEO and president, Mark Murphy. He mentioned that Miss Cherry had given him a call, you know, and brought up your name, and we'd love to have you in for the job. And I mean, it wasn't really much of an interview after that, but it was just a huge God moment to have something that I've been praying for and working towards to come, you know, come that way. But sorry, it's just,
that's beautiful and it's
amazing
precious.
Experience. And something I'll never forget for sure.
So give us the timeline. Did you go to India and then go back and take your grandfather to meet Bart, or did that happen?
Yes.
So you were living in Raleigh. You went to India with Global Hope India, and then your grandfather is deteriorating, and he has this opportunity to go meet Bart.
Yeah. So I went to India in July of 2018, and then about early spring, I want to say it was April or March of 2019, is when I got to take my grandfather up there. And again, it was an incredible time, and just the fact that I had that opportunity, I'll never forget. It was a huge blessing.
I love God's kingdom principle there, because you really were centered on your grandfather and his dream come true of getting to talk Green Bay with Bart. And and that was your focus. And yet out of that, God used it to elevate you and to giving you your dream and let your dream come true of being on staff.
I know.
And that's the way God works. If we will humble ourselves and put others first, he never does that to our detriment. He's not saying, I don't care about you. You sit down and let me elevate everyone else. He's like, I've got you. I'm going to so take care of you.
Yeah.
You are good, but let's go bless others in Jesus' name. And when we do that, what loving father wouldn't want to give good gifts to their kids. Mm-hmm. And our Heavenly Father has given a great gift to you. And I'm really blessed to hear about that. Thanks for sharing that with us.
Yeah, and also, just
thank you.
Your story just remind me my story back. Like, you know, I never imagined that I would be here in America today.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a miracle. And I kept applying my visa for three times. And on the third time, that the woman said that I would never see United States in my entire life. And I lost my hope and I was frustrated. I've never seen in my life United States, but that God miracle is just amazing. And on the fourth time, God gave me
this. But listen to this, that fourth time, mm-hmm. what were you doing when you went to pick up your passport? What were you doing? Mm-hmm. When the U.S. Embassy took your passport mm-hmm. and you didn't know what they'd do with it.
Right.
They told you to come back. And when you went to pick, where were you and what were you doing?
Mm-hmm. They say that you can come and pick up your, they took my passport and they never said anything about you got your visa. They never mentioned anything. But they say that we'll give you a call once your passport's ready. You can come and pick it up.
But answer my question. Yeah. What were you just on vacation, crying and boohooing about life? What were you doing?
I went there to.
You were
in Hyderabad. I was there. Yeah, exactly.
Serving on a mission team.
Right.
You were putting others first, mm-hmm. and that's my point with Scout. You know, this is just a real good God moment to just lay this principle out there. If we will seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and put other people first, mm-hmm. our Heavenly Father's got us. He'll take care of us. And I just love
Amen.
How he did that in your life, Justin, as well as how he's done that in Scout's life. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. So Scout, how would you describe your missionary experience to India in one word? You only have one. What would be your word?
No, see, you can't wrap that all.
One word. I've got a word if you don't.
Oh my gosh.
My word for you would be humility.
Yes. Well, I mean, but that's what. But,
what word comes to your mind?
Just life changing. I mean, it
can be a compound.
And I feel like that's enough. You know, I feel like that wraps up all my words in one. But I mean, it's something that you'll never experience in any other way or form. And I had a brother who was a missionary. You know, full time. And he would always tell me about this. And he's like, you just have to do it. He's like, there's no explaining it. He's like, you just have to go. And that's honestly my one bit of advice. If I can, you know, tell anyone, it's like, you're going to be nervous. You might be, if this is your first time ever, you know, it's going to be, you know, a lot of unknown and maybe a lot of questions, but just do it, you know, and like, you'll come back, you know, much better person. You'll be thanking yourself that you did it. And just life changing, man. I couldn't imagine anyone going on that trip and not coming away different or not coming away with a new perspective. That would be mind blowing to me. So I just,
that's beautiful. And you just answered Justin's next question, which is, what would you say to someone considering going to India? Do it.
Sign up now.
Yeah.
Send up a link. One final
question. And that is, how would your trip to India be showing up in your everyday life today? I think you've already alluded to just the spirit of humility that it's given you, maybe more commitment to prayer, but anything else you want to add to it's now July 2020, major curveball career-wise, advancement career-wise, but 3 weeks later, a curveball, and yet your voice sounds, you're so at peace. What did God do by taking you to India that's helping you today?
I mean, I'd say the biggest thing is he reignited that fire. Just, you know, I can become so complacent where I'm at, and I can be so, you know, happy with the way things are. But when I took that trip over there, again, just to see them so on fire for God, you know, I saw that there's so much more that I could be doing. And that did start with prayer. It started with praying in the morning, praying at night, and making sure like there wasn't, you know, I didn't ever want there to be a time where I'd look at myself and be like, when was the last time that I prayed? I never wanted to have that concern ever again. And, you know, so it started with the devotion of prayer, but then now it's, you know, it's almost, I don't even notice it because I'm just talking to God as a friend, and it's not even, I do consider it prayer, but it's nothing. I don't know. It's just with that relationship there, it doesn't feel like anything. It doesn't feel like work. It doesn't feel like anything that I'm doing as far as maintenance. It just feels so natural, and it feels like a true, authentic relationship with him.
Wow, that's beautiful. Well, I'd love for you to close out our show with a word of prayer for our audience. You've unpacked so much of just God's gift for us, and just love for you to pray however you're led over Definitely. Our audience today.
Gotcha. Dear God, thank you for this opportunity to speak with Kevin and Justin and everyone here who's listening. Lord, I pray that if anyone out there is, kind of deciding whether or not they want to take that leap and go on a mission trip, God, I just pray that you give them that faith, God. Give them that courage to take that step out. Lord, I pray that anyone out there on mission trips, that you just, cover them, protect them, and give them the opportunity to not only impact the lives of others, but let them be impacted themselves, God. And I just pray that you continue to bless us, God, and continue to look over us. And just thank you. Thank you for the work that Kevin and Justin are doing and that they continue to do. And I just pray that you continue to watch over us and stand alongside us as we continue this work. And I pray for just peace, God, peace in this world right now, as we're in a lot of uncertain times, that you're just here with us and that you remain that shining light, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Justin, what a great interview. Thank you for finding Scott.
I know. The whole story is just...
Let me say that again. Thank you for finding Scout.
He's telling my mom and my dad right now.
Scout, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. Seriously.
You are a blessing.
Love catching up with y'all.
Yeah, thanks for helping remind us of God's good work in India, as our prayers are for the people of India today for a day of salvation. But our prayers are with you as well. So God bless you there in Green Bay. Keep up the good work. Can't wait to see you again face-to-face very soon.
Yeah, can't wait
Sounds
to see you.
Sounds good, guys.
Thank you so
much. Definitely, definitely.
We're giving away a Starbucks gift card this month to one of our amazing listeners. Go to globalhopeindia.org/missions and fill out the quick free Starbucks form. We will randomly select a lucky listener, so enter now for your chance to win. This episode is complete, so head over to globalhopeindia.org for show notes, resources, and opportunities to go to India through GHI. Continue to be radically transformed by God as you live out the Great Commission, and we'll see you again next week here at Missions Change My Life.